Welcome to Simplifying Life Through Technology. Today, we are spotlighting Vic and Amy Petrenko with the Petrenko Group, Premier Sotheby's International Realty. Thank you for joining us.
It's the second time. They were so good the first time in the VIP event that we brought them back.
Absolutely. Like, yes. Who wouldn't bring them
who
back?
Who would not bring them back?
So tell us a little bit about the Petrenko Group and what you guys do.
So Vic and I have been in real estate for 6 years, and we fortunately found a great home with the firm that we're with now, Premier. We were fortunate to be the top team for Premier Sotheby's International Realty.
Yeah, you can promote yourself. You're exactly. Number one.
So we're fortunate that we have that status currently, and we look forward to how 2022 will continue to progress. We have been fortunate to be recognized in Real Trends last year for one of the top small teams in North Carolina for sales. And so we have been fortunate to meet a lot of great clients, and we do help others, not just in the luxury market. So we had the pleasure of helping our daughter recently, and she was a first time buyer. And I'm proud to tell you that even though initially her house did not come in at the value that she had offered, we realized that a house near her had closed 2 weeks before for the price that she'd offered. And so we asked for a reappraisal. And so when I called the lender, he said, well, people don't normally ask for that. And I said, well, why not? If it only cost me $300, she'd be out $20,000 otherwise. Yeah, we're going to do it. So it worked out really well. And she was able to get all that money back. So I'm thankful that we had that option to work with.
I think it's important to bring up that you guys are not trained classically as realtors. You had a whole different life serving our country in the military and moving multiple times. So you had a good experience buying your home, but what made you actually go into the real estate business?
Well, after I retired, Amy was looking to do something together.
Oh, that's cool.
So we were looking at, you buy a small business? Do you buy a franchise? We were trying to figure out what to do. And one day she had this brilliant idea of, let's get into real estate. And so I was being a supportive husband and went along with it, not knowing what we were getting into, but it was all good, right? Is that pretty close?
Actually, I think it was that we were trying to figure out how we could continue to help people, because with his role when he was a general and we were in Saudi Arabia, my role was to bring all of the new spouses in and show them around Saudi Arabia and Riyadh. So it kind of melded right into showing people around like Norman.
Okay. So you were actually training yourself.
I didn't know that it was a free job. You know, I wasn't getting paid in Riyadh, but I had the pleasure of taking everybody around.
Yeah, but I think it goes back to just helping people. And, you know, buying a home is a huge investment for the vast majority of people. So you got to do it right. And take care of them, because there's a lot of little nuances and rules, and first time home buyers or somebody even who's bought multiple homes might not be up on all the new rules. So it's really about helping people achieve their goals.
Well, and you just touched on two different ones. You touched on your daughter, who's a first time home buyer, who I would say the lion's share, if not almost 100%, would never think to do a reappraisal as a first time home buyer. So that's a huge help. But then navigating, and I know Michelle wants to talk about some of the state of the industry right now, but now navigating everything that's going on right now, regardless of whether you're a first-time home buyer or this is your 10th, like how do you get the value that you want, and how do you price it properly, and with interest rates rising or at least fluctuating, you know, what does that mean? So
can you tell us, you know, kind of the state of the real estate market, you know, right now?
Well, I would start with, you know, the market's changed. The feeding frenzy that we've experienced over the past year and a half has really slowed down. And then people ask why. And so a lot of it has to do with what's going on in the world, really. You know, is the confidence level there? What's going on with the market? You know, interest rates are rising. Inflation is up. So all that contributes to how people feel about the market and what they're willing to buy or not buy. And it affects their goals, their future goals in terms of their properties. So all that impacts on the market. So right now things are slowing down. And all the things I just mentioned actually add to the fact that inventory is down. If you don't have that feeding frenzy and people are making a tremendous amount of money because of appreciation and just a hot market, buyers are being a little bit more cautious because interest rates are up. And they might think that the valuation is a little bit too high. So there, you know, it's a free market, you know, supply and demand. So all that's going on right now. I would say that if you have a great house in a great location with great amenities and in good condition and you price it right, you will sell it. But if you're overpriced, it's going to sit on the market for a while. And you're starting to see an increase in price decreases, if that makes sense.
Sure. Yeah.
So that's accelerating a little bit. And that's just normalizing back to where the value of the house should be based on what the buyers are looking at. So it's slowing down. And I think it's going to be hard to predict what the future is going to be like. But, you know, if somebody really wants to sell a home, for example, because they want to go back to Texas or California and go back to mom and dad or whatever, it's still a good time to sell the home because the values are still up, right? But we got to go back to the basics. We have to market it properly. We have to price it right to bring in the most amount of buyers, right? And then it'll sell. But if your price too high, it's gonna sit a little bit.
And I would assume that in the market the way it was over the past, say, 12, 18 months, where people were just throwing a lot of money at it and it was on there for 2 or 3 days, that things like appraisals and inspections were less important. They're still important, but they were less important because of that feeding frenzy that you're talking about. Now, as things are settling a bit, it would seem like, especially in the luxury market, things like inspections, what's in the home, and at least in our world, some of the homes that you're in, probably a lot of them that you sell or list have got higher end electronics and systems that, you know, who knows if they're working or whatnot. Is that true? Are you finding that inspection part is playing a bigger part?
I think that it's continued to play a big part. It was just that because of the large due diligence fees that North Carolina required, there was not as much negotiation going on if there was a big problem. So I think that, you know, for our luxury homes, we do make sure that we have any electronics checked out. We want to make sure that we get a regular home inspection. We probably need to get the dock looked at if there's a dock. And so we usually bring in all of our friends that work in these service industries to help us out.
And that's where you guys probably could provide an even more advanced service, in that it's not just, hey, we're getting an inspector to come out. Because in these luxury homes, like you just mentioned, Amy, you've got a dock, for example, and the inspector can look at it and say, oh, it's standing. I mean, it looks okay, or it looks rickety or whatever, but he's not an expert in the dock. So having someone come out to do that. And so that's what we also would be willing to offer, is to come out and give an inspection, if you will, on these systems that a general inspector would say, yeah, there's a touch screen, but I don't know if it's doing what it's supposed to do or what.
No, and you got to be very careful. We spend a lot of time trying to vet and make sure the folks that we use to provide inspections or look at things, I mean, they're well qualified. Because if you have a very modern, smart home and the technician doesn't know what he's doing, you could really mess up the whole system in the house for that seller. So you got to be very careful that you have qualified people looking at the type of technology they have in the home. So
living on the lake in this area, there's also, you know, occasional storms, and sometimes there's lightning damage. Right. And so you can have a house full of equipment with a full rack and just, you know, not turn it on. Or when you turn it on, you just assume that it works because the button turns green, right. But really taking the extra step to make sure that it's actually functional. And
we literally just had one last week. We just had one last week that we had to go out and appraise for lightning damage, and it was fairly extensive.
Your homeowner's insurance will cover it if you file a lightning claim when you have the event. But some people either don't know that, or they maybe don't have their equipment checked frequently enough to see if there's any issues. Right. And so when we do have a claim come in, we generally, you know, take a look at everything and test every TV, because lightning's kind of like cancer, where it can spread through the lines really easily, or something may work this week and then it dies next week.
So in your world, there's definitely some turmoil recently. I mean, where do you see the market going? I know it's a crystal ball and you can't predict, but just just from your experience and being out in the world, how do you feel about
it? In terms of the overall market?
Yeah, just overall market, overall real estate market.
The luxury market will continue to be strong. I think even 750 to, 300, you're just going to have to price it right. And I think there's plenty of buyers out there that are qualified. It's just they're going to be more particular because they're paying a little bit more premium based on the interest rates. It's just correcting a little bit right now. I've seen no indicators right now where, whatever house you bought is going to drop, the value is going to drop out. I'm sure some folks are talking about it, but I haven't seen anything like that. So I think if through the appreciation process in the market, I think most values will hold for a while. And it really depends on sentiment, I think.
Do you think the relocation of folks moving from out of state to North Carolina?
That feeds our market a lot. I mean, if you have folks
just gonna ask this.
Coming in from Cincinnati or Chicago or Long Island or whatnot, and they buy a house here and they look at the property taxes, it's almost nothing to them compared to what they're paying up at home. So those feeder markets, right? People from California, Chicago, New York.
My wife grew up, her family's in Long Island, and our family joke is about the taxes.
No, right. And the taxes are almost negligible for some of these folks. And there is a difference between Mecklenburg and Iredell, but still it's really much less expensive for them than what they're used to. And we have a lot of folks coming up from Florida relocating. They want the seasons and all that. So they come up here for that reason too. So our market's very strong because of its location. We got a great international airport. Charlotte has a lot to offer. We got a lot of nice little towns around here: Cornelius, Huntersville, Davidson, Mooresville. There's a lot of good stuff going on. Denver's really growing on the west side, and people really find this place to be very appealing for multiple reasons. And I think that'll continue.
So before we move off the topic, Amy, I'm just a secondary question on that. What percentage would you say of your clientele are people in the general area that are trading homes, if you will, versus someone like Vic just said from Cincinnati or from Chicago or Long Island or California or Florida or whatever, moving in, maybe cashing in on equity in those markets and using it down here?
So I would say probably between 25 and 40%. So we've got mostly clients that are coming in. Most of our clients have not really changed their houses. Okay. We've had a few this year that have started.
So the higher percentage is the folks moving in.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct. So we've got new people coming in more.
All right, cool.
I had a follow-up question to that. I've heard some crazy stories about maybe the under 500,000 market, where people have in the past year or so had to write letters and try to convince the buyers to sell to them. And people are lined up outside the houses for the, first showings. Have you seen that here locally, or what is your experience with that?
So the letters are currently being discouraged because we can end up with familial status or any of what we call fresh corn, where we can get into trouble. So we have not been encouraging our people to do that. What we're seeing more of is the, as I had mentioned earlier, the crazy due diligence fees.
Will you just say what due diligence is for folks that may not know, just be sure?
Sure. So if you're not in North Carolina, it's something that I think only North Carolina is doing in our East Coast area. So you have to pay the sellers for the option to be able to do inspections for a period of time. So the due diligence period. And so, you're seeing anything from $20,000, even at a $300,000 price point, up to, I've just heard about one yesterday that was $100,000 for due diligence. And that's a lot of money to lose if you realize something's majorly wrong with a house.
Because if you walk away, you lose it. It'll go towards the purchase of the home, but that allows you to do your inspections. And so because of this market and the frenzy, people have been putting in high due diligences fees, and then the seller gets to cash it right away. And if the buyer walks away, the seller keeps it. So that's been an unusual trend that we hadn't seen before.
Sorry. So that's kind of like a, it's still a love letter of sorts. It's just a better financial one. Love letter.
Better one.
It is a financial love letter.
That's a good way of putting it probably. Yeah.
It is because I mean, it's hard. And I for us to encourage any of our buyers to put that much money in, it does diminish their chances of being able to negotiate. We've been the seller side too. Where, you know, if they've gotten $50,000 to $75,000 in due diligence fee, there's not a whole lot of encouragement to get anything negotiated.
That is a new definition of a cash buyer.
Yes.
Right there. What in your market and the folks you deal with, what is the normal period that option extends for? I know it's negotiable, but I'm just
curious. Is negotiable. I would say anywhere from 25 days to 30 is usually the regular amount. For a lot, it's usually 45 days because they do have to do more inspections.
So that's very interesting. It's my understanding that when you're at a lower price point, say under 500,000, that time is greatly diminished, like a week, 10 days. Is that true?
Or? It can be true, but you know, if we're representing the buyer, I would want excuse me that. Because it doesn't give you enough time to get a survey done. You could probably get everything inspected, but it doesn't, you know, the survey could be a big deal because we've seen some issues with surveys where fences have been.
But you also got to make sure the mortgage, the financial institutions have time to do their work. You know, if they're financing, they need time to make sure they're qualified and check the title and all that. So, you know, a cash buyer can come in and say, hey, I want the house. Yeah. Can you close next week? Here's the cash. Yeah. But if you're dealing with a financial institution, it takes a little bit of time. So you have to discuss that with the mortgage, the lender.
It's our favorite three questions segment, Michelle.
I have an off-topic question that we usually ask a few off-topic questions here towards the end. What is the best vacation that you have ever taken, or the best location that you've ever visited, given your military background?
Oh yeah, for you guys. Yeah.
You know, it's hard to nail it down to one. I can tell. Yeah, I was going to say we've had a couple popular ones, Amy. I'm just going to mention a few. We've enjoyed, we really like Istanbul, Turkey, Prague and Czech Republic was a lot of fun. Touring Ireland was a lot of fun. And we really like Newport, Rhode Island a lot.
Those four always go together. Newport is always thrown in with Prague. In Ireland.
What do you think? I mean,
I would say I agree with those. We enjoyed visiting Dubai a couple times when we were in the Middle East. Oh, wow. So that was fun. We had a vacation with our kids on one of their adventures coming to visit us. And
did you go into that mall?
Oh, yes. We were contemplating, do we want to ski in the mall? But our kids said no.
You can ski in the mall?
Yeah, they have slopes. It's amazing.
It's like ice skiing.
It's like ice skiing, but you know,
I didn't know that.
You can ski. Yeah. So that was interesting. When we went to Quebec City on an adventure, when we didn't have time to go to Europe, that was a nice, pleasant visit that was almost like being in Europe.
I got to ask, what is it about Newport, Rhode Island?
So I think what we loved about Newport was that Vic had been deployed for a year before we were assigned to Newport. And we had a small little townhouse looking at the Pell Bridge, which is Narragansett Bay. And we got to watch them, all the yacht races, which was wonderful.
That's really
cool. It was just a fun place.
It was just a fun place.
Good food. Yeah.
So we like to go back there when we have a chance.
What is your favorite band of all time?
The Eagles.
Is it really? So you do know that they have two of the three best-selling albums of all time.
Yeah, I saw them for the first time probably in, I don't know, 77, I think, 77 time frame.
Oh, so that's the Hotel California tour.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
But I went there, and I think I paid $20-$25 for a ticket to go see them back then.
So this will be funny, one of our favorite bands, too. And when Kristen, my wife, and I have two separate dating lives, and when we dated for, it's a different story. You said, do you want to ask questions about Mark? So when we were dating first, and she'll listen to this and this will be great. Hey, love. I bought tickets to the Hell Freezes Over tour, which is about 94-ish, 93, whenever that was. They were $200 a piece, which back then, and then here it might as well be $1,000, right? $200 a piece. We're going. It's all exciting. And we broke up.
Well, hopefully she enjoyed it.
To the Eagles at $200.
No. Yeah, there's no comment after that one, right?
Hell froze over.
I took a blind date to a Billy Joel concert.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. It was a lot of fun. Yeah. Yeah. She was from New Jersey. And that was a way to figure out how to take her on a date. So
where did you see Billy Joel?
In Arizona, Phoenix, Arizona.
Oh, okay. Okay, because I know he loves playing at Madison Square Garden. He plays there like every 3 days or whatever.
No, this was back in the late 70s,
okay,
early 80s.
Very cool. Very cool. Amy, who's your favorite band and blind date?
And blind date, Lord. I don't know that I have a favorite band because I'm all over the place when it comes to music. Probably my favorite blind date was when I actually met my husband, because we...
You met on a blind date?
Kind of. So we had heard about each other for many years because we had mutual friends, and he was in Germany and I was in college. So when I took a job in Savannah and he was in Columbus, Georgia, on the other side of the state, the friends kept trying to get us together. And eventually, when Vic showed up at Fort Bragg in January, they asked me to come up, but I didn't realize he was going to be there.
That sounds like a blind date. It was a blind date.
10 months later.
Magical city of Fayetteville.
In the magical city of Fayetteville, yeah. It was a blind date. It was a blind date.
Oh, that's awesome.
They ambushed us. Yeah.
We met in January, got married in November. I'm sure our parents were wondering what was going on. And
how long have you guys been?
A long time. Oh my goodness.
Almost 34. That's awesome.
We're working on it.
Are you readers? Do you have any favorite books that you could recommend to our four people listening?
So one of my favorite ones is The Go-Giver, which is a wonderful book, just to encourage people to kind of look at what are you doing for others, not necessarily what are you always trying to get from others. So I like that book.
Vic, any on your reading list? Or?
Ooh, I was trying to remember what I read last. It had something to do with, I can't remember the name of it. It had something to do with why America is as great as it is based on its physical location. I'd have to come back to you on it. It's a great book, and it's also on audiobooks, but that's what I just finished. And lately, actually, I was kind of doing some research in the Bible. There's a couple stories I heard, and we listened to some sermons in church, and it caused me to go back into the Bible and do a little bit of research. So I've actually been reading and researching the Bible a little bit.
So we're Catholic, and the only reason I bring that up is because the Catholic Bible has a couple of different books in it. And I bring that up because the one I'm reading right now is Sirach. Which I hadn't read for many years, and I'd forgotten that is it's like a playbook on just everything. This morning I was reading about how to raise a daughter, and it has like relationships, and it has a business section, and it's crazy. Like, it's a very long book. It's 60 something chapters or something, but touches on everything. So that's a good one.
And there, actually, you mentioned that the most recent one I just finished that hadn't had anything to do with faith was a book by Tim Keller called The Prodigal God. So it's a different spin on that parable about, you know, the prodigal son. The
prodigal son, yeah.
But sure. The book's titled Prodigal God. And I think Tim Keller did a great job in terms of providing another aspect on how to interpret that parable. And it was it's very short. It's like, I don't know, six chapters, and it's a very easy read, but that's the most recent one I had.
That's cool. We'll put all these in the show notes, right, Michelle? Anything else you've got, Michelle?
And I know we're closing out, but I've tried to do some research on it. I haven't come up with a definitive answer, and I'm going to sound like an idiot asking it. But in the description of Vic Petrenko, it says he attained the office. It's the office of general. Officer. So does that mean general?
General officer.
Yes. What does that mean?
General.
What is the rank? Do we call you the general
officer, you know, brigadier general? So you have ranks, you know, private, corporal, sergeant, you know, staff sergeant, lieutenant, captain, major. And then after colonel, we have general officers. So I was able to attain general officer rank.
We can't gloss over that. This is a brigadier general. Not every, he's like going, yeah, there's a couple offers. He had to go like through 13 before he got to where he is. And that's 30 plus years of service.
Yeah, 31. Right? Yeah, I was very fortunate. I was honored to serve. I came out of college with ROTC, got commissioned, and wasn't planning to make a career out of it. Just serving my country, and it just kind of things worked out. So just very blessed, and I was very honored to serve my country, and just it worked out.
I mean, that, yeah, and thank you, and thank you, Amy, because I know you guys know you served your country too. There's a lot of sacrifice that you put in so that Vic could help us be the country that we are right now. And so really appreciate both of you guys for that.
When the technicians came back from working on your home, I think Aiden, he's one of our younger ones, had a really great time working with you. And we were talking about your name, and it kind of, in my memory, I remember President Bush saying your name in some sort of context, and it still rattles in my brain.
Really?
Where he thanks some other folks, and then he includes General
Petraenko. Yeah, that was pretty special. We, President Bush had come to Fort Bragg, and we did a pass and review for him. So the whole division, the whole 82nd Airborne Division, was out there on display and part of the parade.
Oh my gosh.
And it was pretty neat. I was a commander of troops, so I got to be the guy giving commands and coming forward with all the colors and the flags, which was really special. And then I'm standing out there at a detention or parade rest at the time. I forget what it was. And you know, the president comes up to the podium to speak, and he actually mentioned me by name and stuff. So that was pretty cool. Wasn't expecting it.
I've got goosebumps. That's incredible. Yeah.
But it's special to meet, you know, all the presidents have a huge portfolio and they work hard for our nation. So, you know, it's great to be with every, you know, president when you meet them or whatnot. It's a special event. So, but to have your name mentioned, that was pretty cool. And Amy was also recognized.
Well, it was interesting because since he was the chief of staff for the division, they were deployed in two different theaters in Iraq and Afghanistan for 15 months. I got the luxury of making sure that I was keeping all of the commander's wives in communication so that they could keep all the families communicated with. So it was interesting. And I was honored to be the person to greet the president when he came off of the airplane. So that was really cool.
Oh my goodness.
So we both have a picture of the president with
crazy.
Us separately. That was very, very, we were honored. Everybody's like, well, what did you do to get to do that, Amy? And I was like, I don't know. I was just doing what I was supposed to do.
Yeah. Yeah. And extremely well, too. So, well, Michelle, I think this has been, this has really, really been awesome. And we didn't even touch on Watermark and just our relationship with you guys, but we really do appreciate everything that you've done for Sound Vision with clients and just in, you know, recommending us and that sort of thing. It's an honor and a privilege to be able to work with you and your clients. So thank you very much. And thanks for
this is kind of a special podcast, at least for me anyways, because I know that you give back in different ways. So thank you very much.
For doing we enjoyed it.
Thanks for inviting us.
All right. Thank you for joining us on Simplifying Life Through Technology. And we hope you enjoyed the podcast.